Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm the host of the Dork Forest, and that's what you've chosen to listen to. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, and let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg sang and composed that song you just heard, and he will sing his words to the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. He sings in the beginning with his wife, Sarah. Now, Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio, and Vilmos does my website, JackieCation.com. It is November of 2016, so do not donate to the Dork Forest. Usually I send you to the Support the Show page on my website to donate to the Dork Forest. Not these 2 months. These 2 months, I ask that you find a local food bank and throw whatever money you might have thought about throwing at the Dork Forest at your local food bank. And if you weren't thinking of donating to the Dork Forest at all, find 20 bucks. Throw it at your local food bank, because everyone could use a hand. Don't donate to the website, but there are ways to support the show. If you want merch, you can go to JackieCation.com, get yourself a CD or a DVD of my stand-up. You can get Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirts, regular Dork Forest t-shirts, or a Spooky Reading Girl t-shirt, which is a stand-up t-shirt that I sell usually at shows. And other than that, you can get all of my CDs and DVD digitally online. I get a little bit of a kickback from Pandora and Spotify and Amazon and iTunes if you buy it or just listen to it. So you can do it any way you like, and I appreciate the support. The main way here in the holiday season to support the Dork Forest and anytime is on the Support the Show page. There's an Amazon banner. There's also a tiny Amazon icon on the front page if you like to just use that. If you use that portal to go to Amazon, you just order as normal, and the Dork Forest gets a little bit of a kickback. It doesn't cost you extra. There's just a percentage if you use the JackieCation.com portal. Anyway, this week in stand-up comedy, I am doing a bunch of shows in Los Angeles, and then I'm going to start my my San Francisco, Northern California run. So if you live in the Bay Area, I have a bunch of shows all over the place in the Bay Area, culminating with me opening for Maria in downtown San Francisco, if there is such a thing. But I have a bunch of other sort of smaller venues that are a little cheaper, and I'm going to do long sets. So if you live in Walnut Creek or Mill Valley or our Northern California, I'm driving to Arcata on Thursday, but doing a great show. Bunch of shows with Dash Kwiatkowski and Kate Willett. So get on it if you live up there. Let's get into it. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room with Steve Young, friend of the show, doing me a favor. We ran into each other last night. Mr. Steve Young, by the way, it's Mr. Steve Young, like those things would be spelled, Mr. Steve Young, on Twitter and Instagram and all those things. And steveyoungcomedy.com is your website.
Yes.
And we did, the last time I saw you do stand-up was probably 6 months ago at that Wendy Liebman thing.
Yeah, that was a fun night. I love that show.
That was at Vitello's.
Yes, the site of the, murder.
Robert Blake
had
to go out and get his gun so that someone else could shoot his wife. Very weird.
It's like, be efficient with your murder, you know?
Right, your story is overlapping on itself.
I have the most tasteless photo op ever. I got my wisdom teeth taken out a few days after that woman was killed outside Vitello's, and my dentist was across the street on Tujunga Avenue in Studio City.
Right.
So my face was super swollen, and my friend is a monster, as am I. I can't put it on him. He said, hey, your face is swollen. Let's get a photo of you in front of the Bonnie Lee Blakely Memorial where she was murdered. So, I don't have that picture, but it's out there somewhere.
It's out there. It's going to show up. Was it right by the dumpster?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
because that's where it was, right?
Yeah.
I used to live right by there and constantly. I never went to Vitello's. I always went to the coffee shop there before it became
way too
popular.
It's become a place with lines, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
And so there is a gelato place that has better coffee than Aroma. But I will say this, Aroma has a nice hang. It has a beautiful place
it's
to
awesome.
Sit.
Yeah, it's
really
not
nice.
Starbucks. It's like, yeah, it's got like little nooks and crannies and pockets, and it's very California, yeah. Indoor, outdoor.
And, right,
yeah.
And indoor, outdoor, and there used to be a bookstore in the back of it, and that woman retired, and they turned it into more coffee shop.
Boo, hiss, books are lame.
I guess. I was like, well, she retired. She was like 100 years old, so, and clearly Aroma wanted that for seating.
Yeah.
So fair enough. And so you've been on the show. You've talked about your love of Los Angeles previously.
Love of like the weird history of LA, yeah, and like the nooks and crannies of Los Angeles, yeah.
It's have you ever done that Kurt Braunohler? Have you ever listened to his thing where he blindfolds you and takes you somewhere weird?
No.
He has a podcast where he blindfolds you and takes you somewhere weird, and he did it all over New York.
Wow.
And he lives here now, and he did it to me. I'm blindfolded in his car. And then we drive 15 minutes from here, my house at Van Nuys, to a place that could have been in the Central Valley. So literally, it's almost like I was so like, where are we? Where are we? Because we went up somewhere in Northridge. I can't even
remember. By the way, my jaws, this is not a visual medium, but my jaws dropped as you're describing this. I'm like, you're blindfolded? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a trust issue.
Yeah.
And, he took Kyle Kinane into some tunnels underneath LA.
Oof.
There's tunnels. I don't know what they're for. He took me to a terrible art exhibit of a guy who owned a motel in Burbank right after World War II, hired like set people and professionals to make statuary and make sort of an Old West kind of thing attached to his motel as a destination thing.
Ooh.
And after the first day, he said, well, I can do better than that. And then he made his own statuary. And it was
What's
terrible.
What's a statuary? I don't even know what
it's
that
like
is.
It's like a life-size. Sometimes they're in bronze, but these things weren't. They're not paper mache because they wouldn't have lasted.
Mm-hmm.
But they're kind of wood, and they're old-timey West, and some of them are weirdly inappropriate.
Mm.
You're like, what are you? And they don't look like people. And it's one of the spookiest things I've ever seen. I should find it because all I have is this vague. Or make people go to Kurt Braunohler's. Podcast, but you've never heard of?
I know who Kurt is. I've seen him. He's hilarious.
No, those weird.
No,
these weird places in LA.
No,
what are your?
And I feel
places?
Like a softy now about weird. About like, oh well, yeah, well he's like going deep in a way that like I'm like, well, I think it's fascinating. I mean, I think it's more like the history. I'm not like a weird, you know, pockets of LA guy, but I've lived here for 20 years, so I think a lot of people that come here, they just know like this, like one little strip, like between Los Feliz and West Hollywood.
Right, that's where they
Any
live.
Any place north of Mulholland, it's like the valley. It's like, ugh, I'm scared. I don't know, but I mean, I've done, you know, I've done a lot of production work, so that means I've driven all over. You know, we've shot in weird places. I was a limo driver for about six during the bowels of the recession in 2008. I was a town car driver.
Wow.
Yeah, that was kind of it was
pre Uber.
It was pre Uber. Yes, exactly. Yes, kids. Pre Waze. That was the thing that was crazy. This is like really time traveling. Even though it was only 2008.
Were you using a Thomas Guide?
Bingo.
Really?
Yeah. And it was so awkward too, because like as much as, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I can read maps, but, but I mean, it's basically like I'm writing, you get your pickup in advance. Like they tell you where you're going and I would just have to jot. It's like, you can't read the map while you're driving. So I'm like, okay, here are the bullet points. So I'm going to go right on Sunset, left on Vermont, you know, whatever it is. But, yeah, there were some instances where I'm like, I don't see this exit, and you have some tourist or some, you're supposed to be taking someone from their hotel, from LAX to their hotel, and you're like, yep, we're going to zigzag back and forth across this bridge in Long Beach. I mean, this actually happened once where it's just like back and forth, and it was some hidden little, you know, oh, take this weird thing that no one sees and it's not on the map. So anyway.
Wow.
But yeah, actually knowing how to read a map it's one of these bygone skills.
Yeah, we're all going to have to learn when the grid goes down.
Yeah.
So we just have to relearn. Those Thomas Guides, you know, it was like a spiral-bound book. And I remember when I first moved here, Jennifer McLean, my friend who I lived with, she was like, you have to buy a Thomas Guide. You can't have mine.
Yeah.
Everyone has to have one in their own car.
Mm.
And what it would be is you would look up in the index what streets you wanted, and then you would find the square of map that it would be. And then the bigger square, like if it was off that page, it would either go to the next page.
Yes.
But if it went north or south, it would go to 100 pages later.
That's true. Yeah.
And it was So it was a weird, it wasn't just a normal map.
We really roughed it out. If you moved to LA before 2008, you really roughed it out in a way, or before Waze or any of that. I mean, now I'm just like, I can't believe
it. I think I had a Garmin though in 2005. So
what's a Garmin?
Garmin was the GPS, some of the first GPS.
Yeah, just before GPS. I guess that's, yeah, I'm trying to pinpoint. For me, that's when I, you know.
Yeah. So you'd end up just, finding weird neighborhoods and weird restaurants and all.
Oh, yeah. I think that's how I got. Yeah. That's how we, I'm so out of it right now. So I'm like, oh, yeah. Why are we talking about this? I think there are a lot of people, you know, especially LA natives too, are just so oblivious to where this is, where that is. You wind up in your pocket. But what I'm saying is, like, even though I'm no Kurt Brownell, or I'm not going to take you to whatever scary place. But, yeah, I think like I know this city pretty well, and I've lived here for 20 years.
Well,
now,
here's my question. Someone was just telling me that, and everybody in LA who is like you, who knows the greater Los Angeles area, know in your heart, by the way, that I get around Los Angeles to, oh, is there a comedy venue over there?
Yeah.
Same and
here.
That's all I can do is, so when someone says, hey, I had to drive to Lancaster the other day. I'm like, where is Lancaster? I don't even know. Is that east of LA or is that west of
north.
LA? It's north. Mm-hmm. Is it north going to like Bakersfield or is it north going to Vegas?
On a spiritual level, it's going towards Bakersfield, I think geographically. Ooh, meow. I went there. I don't know. I think it's probably Baker. I don't know. That's the end of it. I know it's north of here. Yeah. So.
Okay. So it's
scintillating.
North of,
yeah.
Well, but the thing is who knows? We have a lot of Los Angeles listeners. Mm-hmm. There could be people who want to know weird fun facts about weird places. And one of my favorite things in Long Beach is,
Victorians. Victorian houses down there?
No. Oh. Is there good architecture down there?
There are, I think, a pretty substantially large chunk of Victorian houses down there that I have not been to myself. So,
like single family dwellings?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
To be able to drive around Long Beach. And I have, my sister-in-law for a while lived in Long Beach. And so we went there and she lived in kind of a dirtbag area. And, so there weren't a lot of Victorian houses.
Yeah.
And then the other time that I've been to Long Beach was to go to the aquarium and it was for Andy's birthday and Andy wanted a Boston cream pie. Did you know that Boston cream pie is a cake?
I thought it was an actual pie. It is not a pie.
It is either a fucking donut or a cake.
I've had Boston cream donuts before. Yeah, that's good stuff.
I believe they're called Boston cream pie donuts.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And you're like, so when Andy said the cake that he wanted was a Boston cream pie, I called all over LA going, do you guys make Boston cream pie? Like I called pie shops and cake shops. Nobody knew it. And so finally I just Googled Boston cream pie, the best Boston cream pie in Los Angeles. And it came up with a restaurant in Long Beach.
Oh.
Called John's Guard or something. It has it's like an umlaut and too many A's. And we went there.
It's just a shitty hand in Scrabble is what it is.
That's an East Coast joke. But it ended up being an amazing diner that had Boston cream pie cake that was amazing.
Okay.
So, but it's a fucking cake. Why is it called a pie? I don't know. I have some tiny amount of rage. Do you have favorite restaurants that you would like to tell the world about in the Los Angeles area?
Jackie.
Steve.
Where do I not begin? No, because I really don't. I'm just like, you know what? We're coming up on the holidays, and one of my favorite things is Mexican restaurants at Christmas time because they go all the fuck out. Like,
really?
I love, it's just like they're already red and green most of the year. So it's like they're already like sort of decked up. And then it's just like, más es más, more is more. So I love Casa Vega on Ventura Boulevard here in Sherman Oaks. And,
oh, yeah.
They have a lot of I'm a taller gentleman and they have a lot of low hanging tinsel. So I love walking out of there, picking tinsel out of my hair at Christmas time. It's good. It's good times, yeah.
Now, here's a fun fact I have about Casa Vega is Casa Vega. Don't know if it's still this way, but it used to be known Wednesday afternoons. You go there if you're a married lady and you can get some action. I found this out before I was married.
That sounds so Key Parties, like 1970. It sounds very,
very bold,
very
Keys,
Valley, very
right?
Like it does sound, yeah.
Right. Very Valley girl kind of situation.
Uh-huh.
But it, because if you ever go to Casa Vega on Ventura Boulevard, I think right at Fulton. Does that sound about right?
And your marriage is in trouble.
And yeah, right, Coldwater right Canyon.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that. And the bar is so dark.
Yeah.
The darkness of this restaurant. You have no idea what you're eating. You have no idea. You don't know what you're eating. You don't know who you're about to have sex with. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So
it's like Vegas.
It's but in the 70s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's what I know about Casa Vega.
Mm-hmm.
I have like 9 stories about different places around Los Angeles because I used to drink alone.
Mm-hmm.
And when you drink alone at a bar, people tell you stories about the place that you're in.
So, what was your favorite? Okay, now, not to turn the tables.
Turn the tables, but I am intrigued.
I've only known you as a non-drinker, so I'm intrigued to
what
extent.
This drinking was like.
Well, where are your places? What were your watering holes in LA?
Well, first of all,
besides your apartment,
only in the end when I began to realize that I wasn't very good at drinking, and I would do essentially 2 shots.
Mm-hmm.
What? Not really. I would do 2 of those tiny airplane bottles full of Rumplemans before
Jesus
I went to a party,
Christ.
Which are 4 shots. That would be 4 regular shots.
And by the way, I'm saying Jesus Christ, not about the alcoholism, but about Rumplemans. That is just, a sorority girl.
Such a girly thing to do. I think it was because when I was very little, when I would have a cold, my grandmother would give me a shot of peppermint schnapps.
Oh, okay.
And it would just knock me out. It was really great cold medicine, you guys, when you're 7 or 8.
It reminded me of the drinks. It reminded me of the gentle buzz I had with my grandmother when I was a 7-year-old girl. The sentimental side of alcoholism.
Exactly.
It reminded me of first grade.
My grandmother, the most functioning alcoholic, if she was one, which I don't think she was.
Yeah, I'm Irish and Scottish, and I never had that bond with my grandparents. That is the ethnic group you'd expect. Like, oh, of course.
Whenever anybody claims anything on an ethnicity, though, I always think to myself, well, I don't know. I mean, because you could say, you know, the Irish are supposed to be these big drunks, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know anybody who's a bigger drunk than a bunch of Russians, you know? And you'd think also, oh, I'm sorry. Have you ever watched the Chinese drink? Holy shit. The Japanese and their sake. I mean, it's like you can – booze pretty universal
is
what I'm
saying.
It
is. That is true, yeah.
And then you're like, well, what about how
– Mexicans.
Right. It's, you know, and so, I mean, you could pick a stereotype and then go – sure. Okay. Yeah. And
by the way, thank you for just bypassing one shout out. Mexicans. Like, no, you can't say that, Steve. That's not cool.
You can say Mexicans. Yeah. Tequila was invented in Mexico. I don't think you're making any sort of a cultural. Right. And after your love of Mexican Christmas restaurant.
That's true. Yeah.
What do you order at
a
Mexican restaurant?
Guys, it's cool. I already said I'm down with Mexican Christmas. Don't write Jack any letters.
Okay.
What do I eat? I mean, you know what? It's just, I love
you just like the ambiance.
I love the ambiance, but there is a Nuevo Mexicano restaurant down the street from me and I'm not into it. Like it is staggering distance. They have happy hour. It's like everything that I would want, but it's like the deconstructed blah, blah, blah. They try to do like fusion-y nonsense. It's not fancy in terms of like white linen, but it is just like, they're trying too hard. Here's the thing. I don't want attractive actor models to serve. Like, I want, you know, I just want, like, I want hunched over abuelitas that are like, you know, I just want that.
You want
energy.
The food.
Yes.
Yeah. And the thing is Mexican food isn't broken.
Right.
There's
exactly.
Really, I remember, you know how, like, you go to a new Mexican restaurant and you're like, well, they can't ruin a quesadilla.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you get a chicken quesadilla, which is not I don't think that occurs in nature. That's not an original. Quesadillas, according to Andy and his friends who have been here since the 80s and or grew up
this
here,
is such
right?
Such a sophisticated dorkdom that I have. I like melted cheese on things, and I like tequila. That's really my high-end
Stand
lifestyle.
Your ground. Stand your ground. And
I will not let that be taken away from me.
But I explained that I would go chicken quesadilla because you can't break it.
Yeah.
And Andy and his friends, they didn't turn on me, but they felt like they turned on me because they're like, you know, the chicken isn't authentic. Mm. That's not autentico. And I was like, Did you just say authentico?
How is the chicken not authentic?
It's just supposed to be chilies and cheese.
Okay.
And salsa. You know, it's just supposed to be sauce and cheese. Mm-hmm. And that's a quesadilla.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but I like chicken. So we're going to be adding some chicken.
Yeah.
And if I'm in a Chili's or, you know.
That was, by the way, that was the I think that's why I've gone. That's why I'm so happy to go to real Mexican restaurants in here. Because I am from Connecticut originally. And the Mexican restaurant in town was Chili's. And Mexican restaurants could not really survive in the greater Hartford, Connecticut area in the 80s for whatever reason.
Right.
You think there would be like an excitement about it. But there was like a place called Pancho McGee's that was like pinata'd out. And, yeah, exactly. It was like that
Pancho
kind of.
Pancho McGee's?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Pandering to the Irish American community in the area too, I guess. Whatever. So.
That is the greatest name.
But yeah, it's an awesome name, I have to say. And like, I love going there. I was a kid. I was like, yeah, Pancho McGee's is awesome. But back to back to my petty vendetta against the fusion restaurant on my street.
Yes, please.
Hibiscus lavender margaritas, like that kind of bullshit.
Oh.
Like, I just,
I ate at Lemonade today, and I was like.
I love that place. When you're saying, what's your favorite restaurant? I'm like, well, I can't talk about Lemonade, because that's, like, the most bullshit.
No, I love the restaurant. Yeah. I don't want there to be rosemary in my lemonade. I don't need you to herb up. There was some sort of kefir lemonade that I had today that.
I don't even know what kefir is.
It's a dairy thing. It's yogurt-y.
Oh, it's the
K-I. Yeah, or whatever.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
We know, though, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's bullshit lemonade. Just either lemonade me or don't lemonade me. But I always want to try it because I'm like, well.
I want this to be a yes fest, but I really like their lemonade.
Oh, do you love their lemonade? Do you like the variety?
Cucumber. They have like a cucumber mint and they have a blueberry lemonade and I like them both. And I actually don't order them that often because I will drink it like right away. Like I can't savor it. Like, get in me. And I tried their, I never even think, I have like the nutritional awareness of like a 7-year-old sometimes. Like I don't think of like, it's a liquid. How could that be high in calories? It's lemons. Like that's fine.
Except for that it's lemonade. Yeah. So it's all sugar.
And then I tried their sugarless lemonade and it was so much worse. And I'm like, oh, there must be a fucking ton of sugar in that I'm not even like, that's how I find out that,
You're having a sweet treat.
It's like, oh, I have a spare, you know, I have like another flab roll emerge, but I'm just having lemonade every day. What's going on?
Yeah. Right. Well, I suppose because it is they're not using stevia or pink or blue or whatever. Like they're not using fake sugar. Do they have a sugar-free version?
That's how I realized how much sugar was in their normal lemonade. Cause I tried the sample. They had like a sample tray of like their sugarless lemonade. I'm like, oh, this is really.
But sugarless or sugar free? Like, are they using like the
wait, was there something sugarless and sugar free?
No sugar, no sugar substitute. No, nothing from like an exit in New Jersey.
Oh, so one has like a sugar substitute and one is like.
No sugar at all.
Okay.
Yeah. Then it's just lemon water.
Okay.
Is what you're having there.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Which is why you're not liking it.
And maybe just like season it with some spinach bits and some kale. Like.
Right. You'd throw some cucumber in that bullshit and see what happens there.
I do like to counterbalance my bad eating with this. This is an exclusive here, by the way. I really like cucumber juice the Rouse. And this is like,
there's cucumber juice.
Your Midwestern listeners are going to love this, by the way. The Rouse at Vineland and Ventura in Studio City has its own juice bar. And it's the size of a city. It's like that grocery store is the size of an IKEA, basically. And they have a juice bar, a freshly squeezed blah, blah, blah. Cold pressed
anything.
Juice. Cold pressed, yeah. So you can order like, so I've had, I have cucumber with spinach. Like cucumber's the base, and then add some spinach.
Cucumbers are wet.
Yeah.
So they're wet enough to be a base?
A base, meaning like that's like the main thing. Like,
yeah,
not,
yeah.
Like so it's cucumber juice, but I'm saying it's not like a physical base. It's not like
no,
on top. Yeah.
But like orange juice, there's juice.
Mm-hmm.
A cucumber can be juiced?
Oh, that's a good point. I see what you're saying. And my dorkdom ends with, I don't know. I think they just mash it. It goes into a thing that goes, and that's what I know about it. And,
right, but you don't know if they're adding like a different, like apple juice or.
They can. That's the rest of it. So then you can add like a season. You can add. It's like a three.
Something wet.
Yeah.
Whether
I should Ralph's. Please sponsor my website.
Is
and
it
I'm
lemon?
Giving Ralph's great advertising. You basically it's like pick from like category one, two, or three, and then the first one. I always go for cucumber. Like I can't do like a full on spinach juice, but then like then. The other two things are like lesser, you know, in lesser quantity within that juice. So I'll get cucumber base and then I'll get, you know, spinach. And then because that tastes bad, I have to like cover it up with like mint or lime. And that will like you can't really taste the spinach. And I like spinach.
Okay, so you don't pick a fruit to sort of make it sweet at all.
You're I think cucumber is sweet enough, in my opinion.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Cucumber being sweet. Oh. Carrot?
Oh, by the way. And I went, oh, gosh, this is an – I'm going to make myself vomit. I said before Jackie turned on the equipment here, the podcasting, before
– Oh, break the fourth
yes,
wall.
I'm going to break the – she asked me what my dorkdom was. I'm like, I don't really have one. And then I'm like, oh, I've turned into a full-on douchebag mixologist with water. Water.
Right.
And,
yes. You like a beverage. You're beverage-oriented.
Yeah. I've mocked mason jars in my stand-up extensively. I worked it into like, you know.
That'll show those mason jars.
Hell
you
yeah.
Fuckers who want to can
burn
shit.
It down. Steve Young is here to fuck shit up. It was part of a chunk I did about how much I hated like countrified California weddings on Instagram. Like, isn't this precious? We have like the chunky white lights and it's in a field in Ojai. And then like you see like a million photos of it and it's like, Is this an improv game? It doesn't really seem like it's a legal wedding. Ha ha ha.
Right.
Anyway,
okay.
I seamlessly worked a joke in from 2 years ago.
Okay.
So back to like how I douched out hardcore with water in the summer of 2016. I bought this mason jar with the handle. I bought the ice cube trays where it's like 2 inches by 2 inches. It's like the giant ice cubes.
Okay.
And I have the water that is seasoned with mint, cucumber, and lemon. So I make a pitcher of water, chop up – it's like basically mixing a cocktail. And then I put a fun bendy straw in it because nothing's too good for Stevie Y.
Well, you know, you got to treat yourself right. Whenever I go to a restaurant and they have bendy straws, I always go, it's a classy place. This place
yeah.
cares. This place
oh, it was
is willing
like
to
a
spend
major,
more
it's
than
like, this
half
is the summer
that.
Of Steve, man. Like, it is just – like,
so
it's
you,
on.
So you drank a lot of water, but you jazzed it up.
Yeah.
And so mint what?
Mint, lemon, and cucumber.
Okay.
I would just cut up lots of fresh mint and cucumber.
Then
the, and put
it would
it in.
Sort of it infuse it.
Yeah. So I put that in a pitcher of just good old LA tap water because that's how I'm, you know, edgy and rustic. And then I would...
We're both enjoying a glass
yeah,
of it right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
I don't infuse it with anything. I put it through a Brita.
Yeah. I mean, I'm poised to take over Gwyneth Paltrow's goop bullshit. I can just do like the low, it's like, yeah, that's like where to go in Reykjavik and I can do where to go in Sherman Oaks.
But you don't live over here in the Valley, do you?
Not too far. I'm like, I'm Valley Adge. I'm, between.
Adjacent.
Yes,
yes.
Exactly. For those not in the biz.
The biz of shortening yeah. words. Good one, Steve.
I live between the Holly Bowl. I live at the mouth, the open mouth of the San Fernando Valley.
Oh, you live sort of Cahuenga Pass?
Exactly, yeah.
Cahuenga, Cage Baker has a great, I talk about this author every three episodes. Cage Baker wrote a science fiction book based in Hollywood in 1868,
mm-hmm.
And the Cahuenga Pass was the Cahuenga Pass,
mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't paved, and they had to ride horses and stuff.
That
horses
is, yeah,
stuff.
That is fast. I've seen yeah. old photos where there, and also at one point there was like a metro, not a, I was about to say there was a red line, but there was like a trolley that would come up from Hollywood via the pass.
Yes, I saw Roger Rabbit. I know what happened. And so I got to get all of my information from fiction. So do you live, oh wait, you're talking about the Ralphs on Vineland and Ventura?
Yeah.
Which used to be apartments that a friend of mine lived in the late 90s.
And a tennis club there.
And there was a tennis club there yeah. as well. And then there were these apartments. And they knocked it down and turned it into the biggest mall with a Ralph's and a Starbucks. Ralph's being the grocery
store. And it's made
store.
My life so much better. I'm the last person to champion the destruction of a sports facility. But it's like, you know, the shopping has really improved.
It is nice. They also have a Jamba Juice in there. I don't know why you have to go to the juice bar.
They have a National Holistic Institute Center And I'm getting to why that matters.
I don't even know what that would be.
It's a massage therapy school.
Oh, okay.
And you can get massages for $20 there.
Oh, that's actually important information.
Yeah. So
yeah.
People of 818. Yes.
Yeah. Get in there.
Yeah.
I took myself yesterday. Maria recorded her new Netflix special.
Yeah.
And
I was there. We saw each other last night.
Which is how this magic came to be, Steve.
Yes,
Young.
Yes, you're welcome.
And
it's the most unremarkable.
It's a great story, wasn't it? Didn't you take pizza off the crew table, or was that Chip Pope?
It was Chip Pope. Yeah,
yeah. He took pizza off the crew table like some sort of animal, and they were like, "Stop that! That's for the crew." And
I want it to be more like almost. I thought it was like, you know, knowing Maria, it was going to be a huge coke scene, and there was going to be shots, and
Right. That's Maria's
thing.
That's
her world. Yeah.
And I'm walking around with a milk chocolate Doves instead of dark chocolate Doves, which are my preferred Dove of choice.
I've never done cocaine, FYI.
Never done it?
Never done it.
I've done it twice.
Oh.
Both times? Twice? Yeah, it was free.
Okay.
That's how you should do it. And then you try it, and then you go, I don't like this. And you thank your lucky stars.
No one's ever said, Steve, you're really missing out. Like, even the people that, like, you know.
You have an adult beverage occasionally, though, right?
Yeah.
You enjoy an alcoholic beverage.
Yeah,
I'm still on board.
I'm still cool, man. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I'm still totally cool.
Right. It's just Coke you aren't used to.
No, I had a Cokehead roommate in the 90s in Laurel Canyon. I'd never been around it. I think I graduated college in 1995. I think there was this vibe in the early 90s. It was like the grunge era. And I think cocaine was this very 80s seeming thing. And it sort of was.
Right. Everybody started doing it was ecstasy.
Yeah.
It was all about tripping instead of getting shit done.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it was a mashup when meth got invented.
That's a garbage drug that I've never it's never gone mainstream in the way that ecstasy has.
Drugs were always too hard to get, and they're only hard to get once.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sure it's easy after that.
Yeah.
It's like getting your first iPhone. They say it's intuitive.
That's a great analogy, actually.
Yeah, thanks. They say it's intuitive. But you really have to learn it. And then it's intuitive. Then you can use all the eye products.
Yeah.
But so once you get your first drugs, then you know where to get all your drugs. And I never found out where to get my first drugs. So whenever I ended up doing drugs, it was because someone had brought drugs to an event and said, hey, do you want to do drugs? And I was like, I want to do something.
Yeah.
I certainly don't want to talk to you. So is there some way that is this a thing we're doing? Let's do it.
Yeah. It's not like Miami Vice. It's never been glamorous. It's like, oh, some dirtbag and his scumbag friend has it. And like,
it's usually banana heads. It's usually like the biggest fucking crazies in the world.
Oh, my piece of shit roommate that had like a punching bag, big surprise. And, he was involved in credit repair, which is just like, that's a scumbag business. I mean, it's not like, or no, I shouldn't say that. I'm sure there are legit credit repair people. No, I mean, cause
right.
I don't even know enough.
Right.
I'm like,
I don't even know what that job is.
Oh, you basically like, he was in like the super fraudulent part of it where it's just like, oh, I think his whole gimmick was like, oh yeah, we'll just help you get another social security number. And that's how we'll get you like some business. I think it was something like really, I didn't even understand. I was afraid
like
to
new
ask.
New papers?
Yeah, basically. Just like, and a fake passport. No, kidding. But I think it was like setting you up with, what is it? An EIN number, whatever, like basically use your new business number, like basically start, get incorporated.
Incorporated, and that will clean up your credit rating?
Somehow, yeah.
Okay, because then you can still have credit, but you're not doing it on your personal thing.
And this is like I did not ask a lot of follow-up questions. And this was like the part of my life where I was like, I'm going to throw my shit into a trash. Like when you're – the part of your life when you're moving from apartment to apartment with like a Glade bag. And you're just like throwing your things in there and just like, oh, part public storage. That was the move when I got mistaken for homeless. I got mistaken for homeless when I was moving from one apartment to another. So
here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I stopped at a pizza place near – well, it was like a heat wave and I had to put a ton of shit into public storage. So I really did look legitimately, you know, like homeless adjacent.
And you put – but you put stuff in public storage?
Yeah.
So
This is like when I was fleeing. This is when I was fleeing the coke scene. It was like literally like – okay.
You didn't have time. You literally had to get out of the apartment.
We
that
got
fast.
Notice. We got I got a 30-day. Like he wanted his like scumbag friends that were on his level to move in. I'm like, you know what? That's probably a good idea. And
So you couldn't find a new enough place quick enough. You had to put your stuff in storage.
Correct.
I've never had to put anything in storage.
Yeah. I mean, it amazes me. Like, now I look back at it, I'm like, I can't even imagine what I had that was so necessary.
So valuable that you wanted.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I lived in LA for all of a year. I think it was my bed, which I mean, like,
okay,
I
may as well that's set a real fire thing.
To, yeah. My bed and my precious, my hi-fi, my...
your record player?
My record... I actually did own a record player.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had a record player. I remember when I left college, did I bring my record player with me? Nope, because I didn't want to have... I figured I would buy... I would spend $80 and buy a new clothes and play. Because that's how shitty my record player was.
Yeah.
It was just a clothes and play. And that was in 88.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I've always traveled with just like two pieces of luggage. When I moved here, I had, my car was full of stuff, but my car was not, it was mostly just books and then clothes. So, and my car was an 89. Nope. I don't know. It wasn't a big car.
Yeah. I did a refugee move. I flew here. I flew from Connecticut to LA and then
with
I bought a
bags.
Car here.
Okay. Yeah. I drove from Minnesota. So, it was whatever could fit in there, and then I moved into a studio that was approximately the size of my living room and that room right there. And my room was essentially that corner. That was my privacy.
Hmm.
Her bed was there. My
bed
was
there. Oh, you
were
sharing a studio.
Yeah, I was sharing a studio with my friend Jennifer McLean. Oof. It was her studio, and she was willing to let me share. And so then our rent was $300 each.
Mm.
So a month. And she got me a job. The first job I had when I was here, secret shopper. I would go to all the different grocery stores, Ralph's included, Food for Less, and Vons. And then
I signed up to be a secret shopper once, and I realized how low the pay was, and I cannot get off their email list for the life of me. And it is like 20 emails. It's just like, please, for the love of God, I implore you. I'm not gonna secret. I won't be a secret.
Right. Right.
I won't keep your secrets.
I only had the job, I think, for 2 weeks, and I realized how poorly it paid.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and she said, I like the secret shopper job just because I don't like the people we're working for, but there is an office job in that office.
Oh.
And I lasted in that office job for like 3 months until I took the temp. You know, that is why I would tell people to graduate from college. You get a better shitty temp job if you have a college degree.
That is such a sad, bleak truth. That is such, yeah.
It's a better temp job,
like,
you guys.
Hey, I went to Syracuse University. Where's my hookup?
Exactly. Can I make $9 an hour, please? And that's what happened. But the secret shopper gig was so bad. I remember the first day of secret shopping, you used your own car. You got $2 a gallon or $2 a mile or something like that. Or you could use one of their cars, which was, they were death traps. And then you had to buy $2.50 worth of stuff at every grocery store.
Mm.
And they gave you a list of like 30 grocery stores, and however many you got, you made $5 a grocery store. And so they gave me it. And this was in 96 or 97 when I moved here. Oof. So I had my Thomas guide. And it start and they were like, well, you could start closer to where it is, which was up here in Van Nuys somewhere, and then work your way down and then just come home. And Jennifer McLean, who was my roommate, she said, what assignment did they give you? And so, cause she was going out with another person and she looked at it and she goes, not a chance are you ending up at Compton in your first week in Los Angeles at 8 o'clock at night.
I worked in Compton.
Your first week?
Not my first week. It was one of my first months. It was definitely like within the first few months. And I worked on Ed Weinberger, who did Taxi. He did big comedy TV guy from the 70s and 80s. He had a show on the UPN called Sparks with Ms. Robin Givens. And, yeah, so I got the call. And it was one of those things where it's like, I found God in the form of like, please, God, I need work. I need work. I need work.
Oh, right.
And then the call comes and it is... hey, we got your resume. I mean, like, and I was just, I would send out so many resumes. I would like, you know, drive to Kinko's, fax my resume places, call them, make sure they got it, whatever. Yeah, I think I got, anyway. But yeah, they called me and said, yeah, we're doing second unit shooting in Compton tomorrow. And it was just like, oh, yeah. And I asked all these, you know, and said, you know, just like fresh off the boat. And the reality is, if you're there during the day, it's basically fine.
And you were working on a set.
Exactly.
So it was fine.
Exactly.
I was going into grocery stores.
That's tough.
By myself.
That's
in
different.
A city
yeah.
I did not know, working
yeah.
with a Thomas guide with my 89, you know, Mazda 323 hatchback.
Yeah.
So Jennifer was like, not this week.
Yeah.
maybe next week, but probably not next week.
Yeah.
Why don't you figure out how to be white first? In, you know, I came from Minnesota and it was, you know, I mean, I'm essentially Bernie Sanders, right? All of my black friends have PhDs. And
oh, I see.
So it's not that I don't know people or people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I don't know different kinds of people.
Right.
So different levels of income. And so I'm,
a lot of hate speech in this podcast.
A lot of hate speech, you guys. We keep mentioning different people. That's not hate speech. You can talk about different people.
I'm kidding. No, Bill Burr had the best. He made some joke about Caitlyn. I saw you. It was the night I saw you at the Comedy Store. This is like a year and a half ago.
Well, okay.
It's all a blur. Who cares? But anyway. He made a joke about Caitlyn Jenner, and it was not, I'm a member of the GLBT community. So my antennae do go up sometimes when I hear just the mention of it. His joke was not offensive. It was just like, oh, she's getting a sex change. So, it was basically like the lawsuit was pending, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't a great joke in my opinion, but it wasn't inherently offensive. But he just said, oh, you don't even know why you're offended. And I think there is some truth to that. Like when people, there is a knee-jerk reaction sometimes.
When you bring up any sort of race or
exactly. And
or
like
anything.
You don't know why you're offended, but you know you think it's offensive.
Right. I don't know why it would be better to pretend
right.
that people aren't blessedly different.
Yeah.
Because then you're sort of denying their differences too, don't
mm-hmm.
you think?
It's, I think so, yeah.
So the whole thing is it's a clusterfuck of, you know, it's a but I heard, I have heard some stupid ass jokes recently where you're just
yeah,
like,
yeah, by the way, I can't believe I'm actually defending like a Caitlyn Jenner joke because I'm
right.
I'm so the other way most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah. And
his persona is like very blue collar, working class. I think people are just bracing themselves for like, and even the Comedy Store, it's not like that's like the hyper liberal PC audiences. So it's just, that was kind of surprising that there was, you know, a vibe there of like, oh, we don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway. But I think people are people have heard so much negative stuff about her being trans that's why I think they are just like on edge.
They haven't really looked into her life and what a shit
oh, no,
show
she
that
is,
was.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many other reasons to really,
there's really
like,
go, hey, I bet I wouldn't like her.
Yeah.
So without having to even go into what happened inside her brain box, you know, I don't care.
She had a good 3 months where it's like, that's so courageous. Please stop talking now. You're atrocious.
Right, right. And then she never spoke before because she was probably super worried about, how come I can't just be a woman?
Yeah.
And so.
And not exactly a house where she was, when she was Bruce, not exactly, not a focal point of that whole scene. So.
Of that scene. Yeah.
Yeah. The actual Olympic athlete.
She was married
the actual
to-
Olympic athlete with like demonstrable skills. It's like, fuck
nobody
off, old man.
Yeah, nobody wants to talk to
sit
you.
Sit in the corner. No one cares.
Right. Cause married to the Kardashian woman, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not
reality
my dorkdom.
Television.
Not my dorkdom,
not your
by
dorkdom.
The way. It's just seeped in. It's like, it's easy to know about this stuff. By the way, Kim Kardashian, my best tipper when I was a limo driver.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the Kardashians. I don't think they're not necessarily people.
I do.
Do you? I don't know a lot about them.
I think it's more the phenomenon. If you want to break it down, I could see like it's the phenomenon of why they're beloved. I think that's what I think, you know. They said yes to millions and millions of dollars. Like, yeah, you want to point a camera at me for, you know, for doing
24 hours?
Yeah, fuck it. Sure. I mean, like at this point,
yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, I mean, I don't, well, no, I think it, I don't have the persona to be like, let me create drama at all turns.
Right. I mean,
but fuck you, Jackie, for not, no.
But I think it is a weird skill that they have. And Kim Kardashian, like, I think she created this empire out of nothing.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they were, They were a upper they were a wealthy family, mm-hmm. but they weren't anything like they're wealthy now.
Yeah, and she put being famous for nothing on the map in a way that, I mean, like, and it's interesting that she has sustained this now for, since, I
for
mean.
For over a decade, right?
Yeah.
This is huge.
And it's weird because, like, what does she have that Paris Hilton doesn't have? Because I saw, like, you know, this week she, it was in the media that she admitted to voting for Donald Trump, and, like, who cares? It's not like I looked to her for my politics, but.
Who, Kardashian or Hilton?
Hilton, yeah.
Interesting.
It is just like, she is really just. She's nothing now. I mean, she's like not, it's just like, oh yeah, that's a footnote. And that's not like a focal point of like, she did?
Right. Yeah, because nobody, where has she been? Has she been staying at Hilton's? Is that, because she had a TV show for a while, right? She had a reality TV show. And that was what started Kim Kardashian's thing, right?
Yeah, they were buds.
They were buds on that show. And then it kind of spun off.
I believe so.
And then Kim Kardashian turned into a monster, like just a business creating monster,
yeah.
just dragon teeth mm-hmm. in her wake.
Yeah.
And so, but, oh, we could talk about your reality TV dorkdom.
Yeah.
I went to high school
now
with
that,
somebody.
Now that I've established myself as a craft water lover, I can be really loathsome. If you just want to, I'm really putting myself out there in the worst way possible. Okay,
this
Real
Housewives.
This is
the safest space in the world.
Real
you can love
Housewives.
Whatever the fuck you want, man.
Real Housewives. And I listened to a competing podcast.
On?
Yeah. It's a monster. I mean, it is like a multi-tentacled nightmare scene that I, for some reason, it's.
Do you watch them all?
No.
How many are there? Any idea? Are there more than three?
Oh, yeah.
Because
well,
there's
a couple
Atlanta,
that have fallen by the wayside. There was a Miami one that did not live up to its promise because I have been to Miami three times. Absolutely.
You wanted it to go well?
The script, I'm writing a script right now about Miami because I think it's so fascinatingly lurid and just like, it is a city that makes LA seem like, it allows us to look down on someone else. Like it allows us to be like, wow, you're really shallow, Miami. You're really superficial. I mean, we're not great, but come on.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, there was a Real Housewives of Miami. And I think that, it's something, yeah, it was just like, I don't know what the alchemy of it is, like what makes this one good and that
right.
one bad.
If you could bottle that shit. Holy smokes.
Because I loved the first season of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, and then it became, because it felt like watching The Sopranos, like they were so clearly mobbed up and insane.
Okay.
And I grew up in, outside of Hartford, Connecticut, which does have, I mean, everyone thinks of it as, it is, you know, mostly white there, but
it's the insurance capital of the world.
It was at the time. I don't think it necessarily is anymore, but a big Italian population, I grew up Catholic, and you wind up going to the same church. I knew Italians, knew like that culture pretty
Catholics
well.
Catholics and Catholics, yeah.
Yeah, Catholics are Catholics, and also Northern New Jersey, and like seeing that, I loved the first season because it felt like a spinoff of The Sopranos, and there was such, they were mobbed up for sure. I mean, like very, you have an $80 million house based on construction? I mean, like, yeah, there's money there, but I mean, that's a little suspect.
Right.
And then the ones I watch now are Beverly Hills and New York City. And I think like the New York City one is real wish fulfillment for me, where it's just like, I've never lived in New York. And I think like there's part of me that thinks like, I should have stayed. I should have stuck around.
Yeah.
And I love seeing it. It's like the weirdest stuff that makes me kind of homesick. Like they were just, or not even homesick, but just like, that would be the shit. That would be really cool. Like, they mm-hmm. are high rollers in New York, and they are not even. They're not, I mean, some of them are and some of them aren't, but the appearance of being high rollers. But I love, like, the most recent season. It's like, okay, they're introducing the new cast members. They're having their first little spat over brunch, and the food was awesome. It was like a whole seafood tower of like oysters on the half, like New England.
It was one of those towers
yeah.
of seafood?
Yeah,
I've
yeah.
seen that. I've
yeah.
seen that.
And I'm like, that would be so awesome.
It's like $130
for like. Grey Goose Bloody Marys. And it's like, you can see outside. It's like, you know, early November. The leaves are orange. It's just like, oh man, that's nice.
And the new Housewives of New York, do they live on like the Upper East Side or
the
Upper West
yeah,
Side?
Upper
it's
East
always,
Side.
It's always East Side?
Yeah. I don't think always. I don't know New York well enough, but they're. Clearly, they reference the Upper East Side a lot, and they are like very into that. Like that is their
okay.
identity. Like this is, yeah. The reason I got into this show is because it started out, they thought they were very high society. They thought they were like blue blood, like the social
Catherine
register.
Hepburn, the Philadelphia story?
Yeah.
They like, thought it was something
they
classy.
They thought they were, or like, Dominic Dunn's world, like that level of like Vanity Fair blue bloods.
Okay. Who's Dominic Dunn's?
Oh my God. Okay. Dominic
How can
Dunn.
I not know?
No, I'm kidding. No, exactly. that's a very, you live a quality life and I, No, I remember the last time we did this, like, you were like, I don't think I could tell Cameron Diaz from Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you live in LA and you cannot. So, yeah. Dominic Dunn is a fellow native of West Hartford, Connecticut, where I was.
Oh, there you go.
And, he chronicles he's no longer with us. He died about, 7 or 8 years ago. Chronicle, he loved a blue-blooded murder. And like, that is shit I would devour. I'm not so into that as, for whatever reason, as much as that's not true. But anyway.
Would have to be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to be a good one. Yeah. Yeah. You can't do some third tier bullshit.
Right. I'm not looking for C celebrities killings.
Exactly. I used to love Vanity Fair. And for some reason this year I stopped reading it. And that was like the perfect storm of just like trash. But it was like Hampton's trash and like a murder in Monaco. Like, that was everything Dominic Dunn. That was like him in a nutshell. And the Menendez brothers. And he is Griffin Dunn's father, the actor and director. It's very tragic. His son is Griffin, and his daughter was named Dominique, and she was the oldest. Have you seen Poltergeist, the original?
Yes.
His daughter was the teenage girl in that movie, the teenage daughter, and she was strangled by her boyfriend, who later got some slap on the wrist sentence.
What?
And that really galvanized Dominic, the father, to go like all in with like murder trial. He was a character. He was sat in the front of the OJ trial and chronicled it for Vanity Fair magazine back in the 90s, obviously. And then Ryan Murphy did the OJ series earlier this year, and Dominic was a character in that. All real people. So, I mean.
Oh, he was the cast.
Yes.
Someone played him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's okay. So I don't mean, because this was a quality rant. I enjoyed that rant right there.
Exactly. I'm just thrilled that I'm like, I deliver. Because you, like, again, it was amazing. Like, I don't have dorkdom. Then it's like, oh, boom. This is the sweet spot.
This is it. You just got to get
to
minute
50. And I met Dominic Dunn.
Oh, really?
I met Dominic Dunn. I was waiting for my car at Chateau Marmont, which is like, that is fucking absolutely where he would be in Los Angeles. And if ever I'm going to meet him. And he did. He gave me tidbits about he was here covering the Phil Spector murder trial.
Oh, wow.
And my icebreaker was like, I've been to your old house in West Hartford, because the restaurant, the Italian restaurant, oh my God, it's full circle. The Italian restaurant where I used to wait tables in Hartford.
Sure.
The owners, I went to their Christmas party, and it turns out they lived in Dominic Dunn's old house. That was my icebreaker. And he told me about some like.
And it totally broke the ice.
Interaction he had with Phil Spector during his murder trial that he was here to cover. So it was really cool.
Wow, that is really cool.
Yeah.
Now, I have to bring it back to me only because the new season.
I need a breather.
You said that you did Beverly Hills Real Housewives?
Yeah.
There's a new season of that, right?
It's coming up, yeah. And you know what?
Have you tried it or? Or has it not aired yet?
It used to be one of my favorites, but like a guilty pleasure because like this is a show with carnage. Like they had a cast member kill himself. They had like, it is something that. It's one of those things where like, oh yeah, this is not, I'm contributing to something really evil, but I'm going to tune it, but I'm not going to cancel it on my DVR. But, yeah, this guy was basically a con artist. I mean, the Armstrongs was the name of the couple, and, they were grifters basically. I mean, like he was.
So how many wives make a Real Housewife show? Is it five?
Five to eight.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in this new season, is there a woman named Kathy Eichstedt?
It could be the next season of Beverly Hills.
She was married to Marcus Allen.
Yes.
Okay.
It's Catherine. She's remarried now. So Catherine Edwards is her name.
Okay. I went to high school with her.
No way.
She graduated 2 years before me.
You know, she lives in San Diego part of the year too. So, next time you're in La Jolla doing the Comedy Store.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I can't imagine she would recognize me, or more importantly, I would recognize her, because I think 30 years ago was when I graduated from high school, and she's had to have a lot of work, right? Because she's a Beverly Hills house. She's on a TV show called The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Those people, by definition, have to have plastic surgery,
it's
right?
It's a job, yeah.
Wow. So, how's she doing? Let's check
in with
her.
She was the boring one, actually. I didn't care. And that's why I don't even know if she's going to come back. And she was just sort of one of those. Here's the thing that they go too far. Like, they're thirsty. Yeah. I said, like, the teens, like the kids are saying today, you're thirsty. That is an issue. And it's like, basically they're trying to, this is a show without writers. So it's just like, okay, let's.
Oh, they have to create their own drama?
They have to create their own drama. And it's like, it's just like, sometimes it's so, I mean, of course they're all doing to some extent, you know. But there is, it reaches a point where it's like, okay, you're just being an asshole for the sake of being an asshole.
Right, right.
I need to feel that you being an asshole is organic. Like, I need to feel that it comes from within. Be an asshole and a monster from start to finish, but don't be a fake asshole and monster. That right. is, like, that's my line.
Then I feel like you've written something.
Yeah. And never, like, here's the thing they always do is they'll always, like, talk about, I will not lift a finger to look at their social media. Like, never have, sometimes they'll have a plot line around, like, some social media. Oh, they posted a tweet and, like, you tweeted this on me. Blah,
oh, okay.
Blah, blah. I'm like, no. Have it on camera. I don't like this, like, this other nonsense. It's like, fight in front of me.
Fight in front of me.
That is what I want. That is what I deserve. Like, they're
That's
not making scripted
for.
Anything anymore, except for, you know, it's just like, yeah, it's
yeah.
like, you better come, you know? And the other spinoff, I miss Melrose Place, and God bless Bravo, because there's a show, there's a spinoff of The Real House. I'm getting, like, I feel like I'm ready to preach mass right now.
That's
like, this
good.
Is intense. Vanderpump Rules. I had to watch the night of the election was so stressful for me that I had to watch Vanderpump Rules reruns on Hulu. Okay, so Lisa Vanderpump is one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Also,
that's a real name. Nobody made up the name Vanderpump.
It's brilliant. It's real. It's like it's like already you got it. She's coming in hot, which I love. It's like you got to deliver. Like I don't want Lisa Leslie Smith from you know. I want Lisa Vanderpump. I mean, you know, Lisa. She could improve there, but you know,
her name's Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah.
What is her husband's name?
Ken Todd, which is just like
Ken Todd
two first names. No, he doesn't have Vanderpump. She was an
actress her maiden
before.
Name.
Yes.
Her maiden name is fucking Vanderpump, and
yeah,
she kept
she's sticking
it.
With it. Yeah.
All right.
And by the way, she, you
she
know
was
the,
never mocked for that in high school.
You know
Holy
the,
hell.
I know, seriously. You know the band ABC?
No.
Early 80s. They
okay.
The, shoot that poison arrow. She was the video vixen from the early 80s.
Okay.
And now she's a... Okay, so anyway, I'm going circular. So she has a spin-off show. She has this super
Vanderpump Rules?
Vanderpump Rules is the name of the spin-off show, and it's about her restaurant on Robertson near Melrose in West Hollywood. I can just name more intersections, you know, for this podcast. Okay, so the restaurant is called Sur, S-U-R. Which
oh,
I thought was
I've seen that.
I thought it was some pretentious I think the word sur in French means on, which I thought like that's like whatever, some dumb minimalist name. Oh no. It's an acronym and it stands.
It's an acronym.
Yeah.
Oh
Your
my god,
eyes
I can't
just
wait.
Lit up and
I
cannot wait. Sexy, unique restaurant. I need to drop a microphone right now. I need to drop
Right. Or get me some sort of thing I can throw up in.
Yeah.
Holy sexy
unique restaurant.
Unique?
Yes.
Unique?
Yes.
She went unique.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
Wow, I will never restaurant.
Yeah.
Then she just went restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, why? Once you've established yourself as sexy and unique, it's like, okay, but what is it? You know, I know it's sexy and unique, but
and it's no reference to Big Sur.
And it's one of those places where it's just
a
like
country. Right? That's part of the California
Big
coast.
Sur,
Big
yes,
Sur, right?
Exactly. No cool like beachy
right,
rustic
a beachy,
theme. No.
Yeah.
No, it's one of those like it's one of those places that you see all over LA where they put like a giant Buddha in there and you're just like, this is the most unzen, flashy. It's like, this is not.
Okay.
What,
did you ever see the movie Music and Lyrics? Music and Lyrics.
I couldn't get through it. I tried.
Oh, it's one of the greatest movies.
Okay. I'll give
and
it a second
in
chance.
In the world of Craptastic,
yeah.
It is talk about your guilty pleasures.
And I like that cast. It's Drew Barrymore and Hugh Grant. And
right. And a bunch of other
Kristen
people.
Kristen Johnson from...
Yep. Yeah. And it's done by the guy who did 2 Weeks Notice.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's essentially the same movie.
I like 2 Weeks Notice.
I love 2 Weeks yeah. Notice. But Drew Barrymore and Hugh Grant plays... he's part of Hall & Oates,
mm-hmm.
right? Who the one that doesn't become famous
mm-hmm.
in Hall & Oates. Neither of them did. But so one of them went on to have...
Come on, Hall...
I don't know. And all I remember is I think it was like a Hall & Oates mashup with Wham. Kind of that's what he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be like the other guy in Wham that never went anywhere.
Andrew Ridgely.
There we go. Well, you got names.
Dorkum.
You got names
yeah.
coming out of your ears.
Yeah.
And that's what I like to do, minute 55.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the crazy thing is there's a Shakira character that they're writing a song for. And the Shakira character as a giant Buddha. It's one of the greatest scenes in cinematic history. And she has a giant Buddha that she comes shaking her ass out of. And it's hilarious and kind of awesome because you're just like, nobody's more polite about cultural appropriation, by the way, than the Buddhists.
That's true.
Yeah. They're pretty mellow about it. There has been some little bit of backlash about yoga recently, but other than that, they're like, nah, do whatever you need to do. We're pretty mellow. That's what Buddhism's about.
I respect that. Yes.
It is pretty amazing.
I worked at a talent agency and there was a Buddha in the office. And I'm like, this is the most lyingest, cutthroatiest place. And not a lot of Buddhism.
Right. Did they have one of those cats that waved at you?
They didn't.
It's a lucky cat. Lucky cat.
No, for some reason.
I kind of want to get a lucky cat, but I don't. I can't get the lucky cat unless I know all about the lucky cat. Like, don't just get the lucky cat because the cat is cute,
yeah,
and it waves and it's supposed to be lucky. That's not enough information to appropriate.
No, because it'll bring good luck in this corner. Here's
some bamboo to go with it, and I'm done talking.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to culturally appropriate something, I'm going to know why I'm doing it, and I'm going to be able to defend
it. That. I can.
That's all I've got.
I got a C in Buddhism class in college. So
took a Buddhism class in college?
I did. Yes.
Was it a theology class or was it just?
It was like an overview. Specifically Buddhism. Yeah. So, and I got a C in it, which is that is such a Zen. I mean, not good.
Right.
Not bad,
average. But average.
Yeah. Not average, just sort of in the flow. Like just really, you know, in the space between knowing and not knowing, really connecting with something higher. And that higher thing was the marijuana I was smoking quite often. And couldn't get into the books. Not a big fan. I'm like, no, I got this. I got this.
I get it.
But it was, I liked the class. I mean, it's just everything. I actually think the terminology was really hard. And, I'm about to defend myself after I just said, no, I was smoking a lot of pot then. And I think that's right. A safe place to land.
Yeah, it's a safe place to land.
Yeah, I couldn't master the religion with like a 5% attention span.
Right.
Shocker. Yeah.
It is a shocker. It's also your chakras were not aligned.
Yeah.
I don't know the chakras are in Buddhism at all. I was going to say.
They could be. And I just was a C student and don't know. But
right?
I think that's more, I do know that that's more associated. From having done yoga in Los Angeles, really know.
Do you ever do
Hinduism.
That hot yoga? That's the most religious one.
I sweat so easily that would be the most disgusting thing. Like it would just, it would be like one of those movies where like a room fills up with water and people are trying
right,
to escape.
Right, it would be a sketch.
I just gross myself
never ended.
Out, but yeah.
Yes. Steve Young, we have talked for an hour.
Yes,
did you
I
know
did it.
Did you know what happened?
Looks like we made it.
At Mr. Steve Young on Twitter and Instagram and all those things. SteveYoungComedy.com will have all of his social media if you want to follow him around. And go see him do stand-up comedy because he's really funny.
Thank you, Jackie.
No
Appreciate
problem.
It.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there, especially important right now. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?